News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Restaurant, home of the one and only Margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I will take that as my cue to talk, so here we go. We start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment produced and written by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. I hear her shuffling papers in the back. You get your papers ready to go. You ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fair enough. Her topic today is about how drugs of all kinds were once legal in El Paso, and guess who was the first city in the United States to outlaw recreational use of marijuana?
Up in smoke. Prior to 1914, marijuana, cocaine, and heroin could all be purchased in over-the-counter patent medicines at local El Paso pharmacies to treat everything from whooping cough to asthma. But the recreational use of drugs, specifically marijuana, started increasing in the late 1880s. There are stories of cowboys on the range to socialites in large cities like Chicago who were known to smoke marijuana. Now, with the increased recreational use by young people, stories started to emerge from around the U.S. about a kind of madness brought on by smoking marijuana. And in El Paso, like other U.S. cities, it had its concerns with young adults partaking in Mexican weed, as marijuana was sometimes called, and getting into terrible trouble. Then in 1913, after a brutal murder of a policeman in Juarez by a man intoxicated on marijuana, the El Paso authorities decided enough is enough and to begin the process to eliminate the usage of marijuana altogether. 2 years later, in 1915, the city of El Paso would be the first city in the United States to outlaw the recreational use of marijuana. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Ah, yes, another distinction for El Paso history. How about them apples? Well, anyway.
Nothing but the best, you know.
I guess. Why do you do this? It's for the History Alliance?
There we go. And speaking of distinguished honors, we want to recognize our partners in El Paso History Education and Photographs, and that's El Paso History Alliance Facebook page, which has lots of historic pictures, information, and preservation information, and is managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And then, of course, one of the oldest, most historic Facebook pages on El Paso. And the region's history is Remember in El Paso When. There you'll find an extensive archive of pictures, historical information, and so much more. And this page is managed by the queen, Barbara Givenbeany. She's the queen of Facebook pages, what can I say? And she's got a fantastic team that helps her out.
She's got another name, you know.
I know.
BGB. BGB. Anyway, Barbara Givenbeany, chief admin, and she's got Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, moderators Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes, all helping her out to do that. We appreciate them doing that. So, you know, there's a lot of people that volunteer to make El Paso history do what it does. I think you and I are on the top of the list of this radio show because we don't get paid to do the radio show. I get a commission on some of the spots I sell, but that's it. In the meantime, hey, have a happy Volunteer Day, Melissa.
Happy Volunteer Day to us all. But hey, you know, I think you get better quality education if you get it from the volunteers.
Well, I think so because the city has no clue what to do. And that's a shame. I mean, well, do you have your numbers up on the Facebook page?
Not yet. I'm working on the list right now.
All right. We're going to put up a list of city reps' phone numbers, and we're going to ask you people to call them because we want to see they have opened up the art museum. They've opened up the history museum downtown. That's wonderful. From the pandemic business, that's over with for them, and you still have to walk around with a mask and scare people. But the thing is, you can get in there and see the stuff, and they've got some great exhibits. They've got a lowrider exhibit now in the history museum. But the Archaeology Museum did not reopen with them. That's the third city museum. We're going to put the phone numbers up for the city reps and ask you to call your city rep and say, please open up the Archaeology Museum. I think that's a good thing. And we're not going to stop until they do it. Because I remember, 10, 12 years ago, the city attempted to close that museum and sell it off. And some idiots who ran the city at the time, I hope we don't have those same kind of people in charge, because we need to open up the archaeology museum. There was about 50 of us that went and sat down at City Hall. I went with a group, and we sat in the office of the city manager and said, no, you're not closing the archaeology museum. Well, it sounded like a good idea to save money. Oh, stuff a sock in it. I mean, I didn't say that.
Make sure you contact the mayor, too, Oscar Leeser, because he proclaims and has been, I think, pretty much a supporter of history. And that should be right on his page. He should know more about that. I'm not sure he even knows that they're not open right now.
Well, put that up on the same page, if you don't mind. Appreciate you and Bernie working behind the scenes at your office today. All right, Al Borrego is here. We're talking about the major issue of the Camino Real. Let's recap a little bit here, Al, and talk about why is the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, that's its full legal name, correct?
Right.
Why is that so important in El Paso? And you using the term universally acclaimed, I'm still stuck on world-class history, but you bumped it up to a universal.
Yeah, well, the idea is, and for the UNESCO determination, you have to have outstanding universal value. Used to be outstanding world value, but I think we have universal value here just the same.
The point being is that this is incredibly important history to the continent.
Right.
It's not just like, hey, look what happened in the backyard. That was cute. This affected everything in the southwest of the United States and all of Mexico.
Right.
To have Oñate show up and start his entrada, go up and take over these pueblos. The pueblos then, hey, 80 years later said, we've had enough of this nonsense, and they kicked them out. They came back to El Paso, and with them, the Tigua Indians. Otherwise,
all 82 of them.
82?
82 people.
Well, we wouldn't. They did it twice. They went back up again and brought some more Tiguas. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Tigua Indians are here because of that whole situation known as the Spanish showing up.
Right.
And that's why all these people speak Spanish around here. Right.
Including the natives.
Yeah, what a surprise. So anyway, that's incredibly important. And all of this occurred before the rest of the United States started cooking and bubbling. I mean, Oñate was here 23 years before the Pilgrims showed up at the other end of town. But,
right.
See, the people who wrote the history books did it in English. And they missed this whole Spanish thing. Yeah, it's over there in the West somewhere. We don't care what they did. Well, that's not right, because this is incredibly important history. And that's kind of why I ran about it. You need to think about this in terms of a world stage. I mean, the Mexican Revolution was a world stage event. The mountains around here are a world stage event. The Copper Kingdom that Asarco was a part of. The Old West gunfighter business that Melissa and Bernie reenact all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These are all world-class events on their own level, but the biggest one that you can really put your finger on and say, there it is the Camino Real.
Right.
So we talked about earlier about you doing conferences. You had another conference. Let's talk about that. Somewhere, was this in Mexico? This next one, number 11.
That's another year of the one in Mexico City. We do that conference every year in October, and that's when we have that conference in Mexico City. We do another conference for the Camino Real. These are big ones. Aside from a lot of many small ones, the big ones are in October, and then in December we do one in San Luis Potosí. See, I mean, you've got five cities that are UNESCO World Heritage Cities, the whole city. And then you have all of these 55 sites along the way that are also designated World Heritage.
Now, what are the big conferences you do in El Paso and San Elizario? What are those?
Yeah, that one is also the next biggest one.
Is,
and we do it here in September. Now we're doing it in September.
It used to be April.
It used to be April. We moved it last year to September. And now, focusing on the whole Camino, we can actually have it anywhere in El Paso County, and we're going to start doing it in September just to keep everybody together. And it'll be September 9th, 10th, 11th this year that we'll be having that conference.
We'll have to talk about that as we get nearer that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have speakers from all over the place.
Right.
And you'll do it on video, on live, and
yeah,
everybody.
Live streaming and
excellent.
Live. Yeah,
you both. Need to do that.
We did that last year in September as well.
You are now the president. It says right here, Al Borrego, president, Cultural Heritage Society of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. and you've got that cute little logo. What's that logo? Is it a careta back there?
If you notice, that logo was actually designed for us by INAH, the National Institute in Mexico. And if you notice, it has New Mexico, Arizona, and our area.
That's what that is. That's the boot heel. Okay.
Yep.
And your website is www.culturalheritagesociety.com.
That's it.
And you go there, and you can hear about all this stuff you're doing.
Yeah, all the events, everything that we're doing, everything we're involved with, what it's about.
Otherwise, you membership. Haven't had... Oh, talk about membership.
Yeah, you want have membership. Yeah, we have membership. We're taking members now. I think we're up near 60-something now.
And what do you do with that? I mean, you give them a conference?
They get newsletters, and they get part of anything that we're doing. They'll know everything that we're doing.
So go to culturalheritagesociety.com, or you can walk in on them at 1501 Main Street, but you're not always open on there.
No, just during regular hours that are there.
Okay.
Now, we do have webinars going on now. We started in February doing a monthly webinar on historic things. We have one coming up with Bernie Sargent, as a matter of fact.
Mr. Bernie!
He'll be on. We're covering the top five historic sites in El Paso County.
Wow.
And we'll be doing that next weekend on the 25th.
Who got to choose those sites?
Actually, Bernie and I talked about which would be the best ones.
Okay.
We asked each other. I asked Bernie which ones would you say, and we pretty much agreed.
Can you nail them off there for us?
Well, it's going to be cemetery, Concordia Cemetery.
Okay.
It'll be the Mission Trail as a whole.
As a whole, okay.
Yeah, Keystone and Waco Tanks.
Oh, yeah.
And what's our other one? Mission Trail, Keystone, Waco Tanks.
Did you put McGoffin in
Fort Bliss.
Fort Bliss.
Out there, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Old Fort Bliss.
Old Fort Bliss down there.
So many of them. Well, yeah.
Melissa,
what do you do? It's hard to pick down to do why when you have so many great sites in El Paso.
Well, Melissa, you would probably agree, Melissa, that one of the better sites that's just ignored is the Oñate Crossing down there on the river. It's a big metal fence that the International Boundary and Water Commission has a tiny little door. I mean, Oñate couldn't fit his horse through there if he tried. And
could go through, yes.
And our buddy Mark wouldn't give him the keys anyway because he'd have to go through customs. But anyway, the point is that kind of thing should be noted. And I think, Bernie, I'd love to see what Bernie could do with that place down there on the Oñate Crossing. Because we're talking about the place where they came across the river, right at La Hacienda Restaurant in modern terms.
Yeah.
Now, that border hasn't shifted when the river shifted because right there it's kind of in a channel.
Yeah.
But once it got down to Santa Lazaria, Sleda down, that river was all over the place.
Oh, yeah. We were on an island for many years.
Yeah.
When it became part of the Union, the area became part of the Union, they had to decide,
decide
which was the deepest channel. So the one that we have now was deepest. So we lucked out because we ended up on the American side.
That was the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Mm-hmm.
And that treaty, 1848?
Nine.
That treaty set the boundary between the countries as the deepest channel. And so when the river got up and moved, the boundary got up and moved.
It had already moved. We were already in an island. So the people that were in that island when we became part of the Union, the U.S. side said, okay, you have 2 years. You can go to Mexico. And if you decide to come back within 2 years, you'll still be an American.
Oh, boy.
So the family split to see what was the bigger, better deal. And of course, some still stayed over there, but... most came back.
And the ultimate settlement was in the 1960s, and that's called the Chamizal. And that became a treaty, and it became a monument, because that's the only time in major world history where two major countries had a huge border dispute and settled it peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's such a weird border over there. And now it's in concrete. Everybody says, oh, I want to see the river again. No, you don't.
Well, if you go on Juarez, you can see where the old river was.
Yes.
It's still there.
And they have soccer fields down there.
Soccer fields. Oh,
yeah. Very interesting history we're talking about. Let's get back to the Camino Real, because the Camino Real, as we said, ties everything together.
Right.
That's
the thing. And you're talking 420 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's why the conference is, the main theme of the conference is that we don't want the history of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro to go into exhibits and museums.
No.
We want it to be talked about every single day because we're still living it today.
Go to 11A, Andrew, on the pictures. Let's see what this one is, because you have a couple of spots that you took pictures of on the Camino Real in Mexico, and they are noted spots in Mexico as places to go take a look at.
Right. So, they're all World Heritage Sites.
So what's 11A? What is that one?
So 11A, let's look at that. 11A, that's a bridge in Tepeche. and it's right near Querétaro, Mexico.
But it's a bridge.
It's a bridge with a hacienda. That bridge is very important because there's the Camino a Querétaro, just like there was the Camino a Santa Fe. That's really not Camino Real, but it's the road to Santa Fe.
Okay.
And then there's a road to Querétaro, which one isn't really on the Camino Real, but it's everything's a product of the Camino Real. Everything around here, every single town here is a product of it. But that bridge really important because that one wides off to the north where we're at, and then it goes over to Querétaro.
And 11B, the next one, that's another paved road.
Yeah, that's off to the north. That's that's how the roads look over there, cobblestone.
But that's original.
Yeah, yeah. And then the 11C is me with her name's I forgot her name now, but she's with the UNESCO out of Paris. And we were doing a tour of that area at that time.
What's 11D? Is that part of this?
11D is the actual plaque that's there.
Okay.
And it's called Rio de la Cañada and Tepechi. That's where that is, and that's a UNESCO World Heritage plaque.
And 11E, before we go to break here?
11E is the hacienda that's there. It has a little hacienda that's part of it, and that's the chapel for the hacienda.
And the next picture?
And 11F would be the plaque from... 1486 of when they were already settling that area.
Oh, they were settled back then.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So and that was and number 12 is something
number
new.
Number 12, that's the Calicanto. That's over here in Parral.
We'll get to that after
yeah,
the break.
Yeah, that's a different one.
Let's
yeah.
start up a new one when we get to there. Cool. Call us if you want to. We'll take call. Melissa, you got anybody interesting saying stuff on Facebook page?
Yeah, we've got a few people just checking in. Mark Howe sharing some information about the 1846-1848 Guadalupe Hidalgo. Also, that area is part of a... they're fixing it up. Let's put it that way. I just went totally blank. And then you also have a gentleman by the... Let's see, Ray Esparza is listening in Colorado. And we have, I think, Al, we have one of your relatives. She says, Margie Vives Benton says her great-grandmother's main name was Borrego, so we think we've had you a long-lost cousin.
Yep, there's a lot of those.
There may be, indeed. Santa Lazaria still has a bunch of them, right?
Right.
So be it. Taking a break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. We'll take a call or two if you like. Got Al Borrego sitting here talking about the history of El Paso, focused on the Camino Real. His company... I found the card. What do I do with the card?
It's on mine. It's actually a nonprofit, but
what's the company? I mean, yeah, in Texas, they call those companies.
It's incorporated.
Oh, there it is. I got his card here somewhere. It is, go to culturalheritagesociety.com to find him, but the name of it is Cultural Heritage Society of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. Good guy, good promotion here for El Paso. We should get the city of El Paso to go along with us. Tell me when you got those phone numbers up, Melissa. We'll talk about those again.
I'm ready for those phone numbers. Oh, those! I should have it after the break.
Fair enough. All right, what's the phone number to call us if you like to?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The COVID-19 coronavirus is still spreading in our community, and anyone who has been exposed or is showing symptoms is asked to get tested. Information on free testing is available at epstrong.org. Find details on how to register for the vaccine at epcovidvaccine.com. eprenthelp.org has resources for tenants and landlords on rental assistance, and epbusinessstrong.org has details on grant and loan funding. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher podcast is part spy thriller, part detective story. Best-selling author and journalist Stephen Talty tells the pulse-pounding tale of an undercover operation to track down a Nazi killer.
A part of history that seems so bizarre to me that it couldn't have been real. But in 1964, the Israelis decided that Herbert Zuckers had to die.
Listen to The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Designer face masks, DIY haircuts. In a world full of things you never thought possible, here's one more. Now you can get the same high-quality insurance from Allstate, but at a new low rate. Drivers who switched and saved average $718. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
Reported average annual savings from switching auto by new customers surveyed who saved with Allstate in 2019. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Not available in every state. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know, we're going to do this again next week. Guess who's coming in here? We got the ham radio people, and it's a business slash hobby. I think those guys do wonders for volunteer work. They save people all over the world, and they have a fun time talking to each other. But they've been around quite a while in El Paso, and we're going to talk about them, have a couple of them on here. Second hour, and this is the one that got the promo people at El Paso Inc. all excited. Second hour, the topic is the gold prospectors of El Paso. And they're West Texas and Southern New Mexico. And wait till you see the promo that comes out today in El Paso Inc. It's a bunch of gold nuggets. You gotta get your ink in color today. Anyway, it's a group of people. They plan to find gold somewhere. They look for it around El Paso. And I think they go to their meetings just to see what the other guy found, but they don't tell much. I'll have to ask them. Yeah, we're not going to tell you what we found. No, we didn't find anything over there. No, don't look there. No, don't look here. Anyway, May 1st, Mark Howe's coming in. International Boundary Water Commission. He's returning with some new archive material found by Randy Corbin. And he's the grandson of an early engineer guy that worked for the commission and Henry P. Corbin. Well, the thing was, somebody found a shoebox of stuff. Well, we're going to dig through that with these guys, the grandson and Mark. And they got several volumes of his early work as correspondence. There's a letter from Anson Mills he had on Facebook the other day. And all that stuff's going to happen. Anyway, May the 8th, what is the history of El Paso weather? The weather history of El Paso. Who are you going to ask? Well, you ask a meteorologist from the National Weather Service, and we got one of them coming on here to talk about major weather events over history, why things happen the way they do. I think it's the mountains that divide this stuff going on. Yeah. I think it must be. What do you think?
Knocks the clouds around.
Anyway, May 15th, we have a new book called Lost El Paso Restaurants by the El Paso County Historical Society. We're going to talk about it with Joe Lewels. Second hour on that day, Barbara Welch is coming in. And she's going to explain the history and the mission of the El Paso County Historical Commission. And one more to note up for you here in May 2021, May 22nd, the National Border Patrol Museum, Trans Mountain Road. It is the national museum. They only got one, and we've got it here in El Paso. And it's interesting. We'll take a tour of them and talk about what their history they have there. So what do you got? You got something.
Well, I wanted to talk about the two El Paso museums are now open. The first one's the Museum of History is now open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays. And you've got to check out their latest exhibit. It's on lowriders. That ought to be a pretty interesting one. And then you have the El Paso Museum of Art is also open Thursdays through Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The one thing that is missing, though, I must point out, is that our El Paso Archaeology Museum is not open. And we really would like to see them get open again. It's a wonderful museum. The Border Museum next door is open. So why not the Archaeology Museum? And I have posted a link to the website for the city, as well as each individual city representative's and the mayor's email and phone numbers. I would urge our listeners to give them a call, send them an email. Just let them know we really think that museum needs to be open. It's important. And it's a great place people need to stop and go to.
It's a fabulous thing that we have a museum of archaeology, And it's got a great pottery collection. We had that show on a couple of weeks ago. And you can go see that on the archive on the Facebook page. We put up a bunch of pictures that they had. Jeff Romney, the director, was in there. And that is the location where all the poppies pop out when they feel like it. They didn't feel like it this year. 2020 kind of made them mad. So they come 2021, they said, hey, they're not showing up. But for whatever reason, they'll show up again. You got any poppies in San Jose? Alborego, you have any poppies in San Jose?
I don't know if there's poppies out there. I think so. I've seen them out there on the ditch.
They seem to kind of like it over there in that side of the mountain. I tried growing some on my side of the mountain. I don't think it worked very well. But the thing about history and what we have here, we're going to talk further about the Camino Real. I've got to take another break here pretty quick. But where are we on the pictures here? Where did we get up to?
I think you're on number 12.
Number 12. What is that?
That's the plaque for the Calicanto Bridge in Parral. And it's between Santa Barbara and Chihuahua. And that particular bridge is a project that I helped work on to restore that bridge. It used to be a two-lane highway, and there's a couple, if you want to go to the next couple of pictures, one after the other, you can see the bridge. Yeah, and that bridge was restored by the National Institute. Like I said, they're the ones that are kind of like National Park Service, but they actually are part of the restoration projects and that. So they restored the bridge. It was a two-lane highway or road through that bridge. And the last picture, which is the following picture, you'll see the how it ended up. And they actually shut it down because it used to be a walking bridge back during when the Spaniards were coming through there. So, but then people turned it into a little tiny two-lane highway.
With big trucks?
Yeah, with all kinds of vehicles, and it was ruining the bridge. So now you can see on this picture how it ended up. And it caused a lot of problems when that was done because there's businesses that are on each end of the bridge.
Of course, yeah.
And they were upset. But now, finally, after a couple of years now, it's more of a tourist spot.
Yeah.
So that they've actually shifted to what they're doing. Restaurants and little bars are there now.
So one bottom line you can say is Mexico actually takes care of its old history.
They restore as much as they can. As a matter of fact, there in Paquimé, I just told you that they started a new society, cultural society, to protect the area of Paquimé. And the museum in Paquimé has had some problems through the last year. And that society now is moving to fix the roof, which had some issues. So
I worry
taking
about
private industry to do it.
I worry about that adobe sitting out there at Paquimé and just gets melting and melting and it's melting.
It's a constant chore. They come back constantly. Every year they've got areas of it that are recapped.
Oh,
and they
okay.
keep working on it. And they're still digging, pulling up new areas. A couple of years ago, we didn't do it last year, but a couple of years ago, the tour that we took down there, we were able to go see the new dig where they're pulling out a three-story building.
Interesting.
And the tour group got to go up there and watch them working and interesting stuff that we do. We're
going
to have that tour. It's also on our website in August.
So if you want to get on one of these Mexico tours with Alborego, go to culturalheritagesociety.com, snoop around in there, and you'll figure out how to get a hold of Al.
Oh, yeah.
And you can go on and They provide the transportation in Mexico?
Right.
For free?
There's a fee, but I'll give you an idea. That 2 year in 2019 when we did it, I think our cost was like $22.
Oh, my God. You can handle that. All right. Melissa, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see if we get a call here. Okay, I mean, if you want to call, it's fine. A lot of people say don't bother with the phone number because we just want to hear what you're doing. But otherwise, it is a live radio show. We'll take the phone calls.
That's right.
And you got.
And it's always nice to hear from people. So
yeah.
Why don't we give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
How clean is your nose? Most airborne germs and allergens invade through the nose, your body's air filter, its first line of defense. You wash your hands and brush your teeth, but what about your nose? Did you know there's an easy way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself? It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to clean your nose by flushing out pollen, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and it comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. And 50,000 independent online reviews averaging 4.7 stars show just how much people love their Navage. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now you can clean your nose and help protect your health with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal with Navage. Clean nose, healthy life.
Do you have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep all night? Waking up exhausted the next day? Well, now there's an all-natural sleep formula that targets the reasons you can't sleep. It's called Love to Sleep. The unique formula in Love to Sleep is unmatched in any other supplement. Love to Sleep has the power to get you to sleep fast and keep you sleeping through the night, so you wake up refreshed and alert, never groggy.
Hi, my name is Dawson, and when I came back to Flagstaff, I had a hard time sleeping. I had a new bed, my room is cold, and I also ran out of CBD, so I haven't been able to get much sleep lately. But when I was introduced to Love to Sleep, I mean, I just fell in love. I just took one, and 30, 40 minutes later, I was out and had a well night's sleep, 8 hours. And I've been taking it ever since.
Love to Sleep gives your body what it needs for the best night's sleep you've ever experienced, night after night, without side effects or dependency. To get a great night's sleep, go to greatlifenow.com. That's greatlifenow.com.
Hey, it's me. Just wanted to reach out after yesterday's video call. You mentioned your friends going through a hard time right now. I wanted to recommend an app you should download. It's the How We Reach coaching tool. It's got tips on, you know, how to reach out to friends or family members who are struggling. So it's great that you're there for your friend. I really think this tool will help you give them the support they need. So let me know if you want to talk.
Download the tool on reach.gov today.
Millions are tuning into Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for real news. Now, Newsmax is asking if you approve of Joe Biden, his policies, and trillions in spending. And did President Trump do a better job? Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word RESPOND to 39747. That's RESPOND to 39747. Let us know who you like better, Trump or Biden. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Text RESPOND to 39747. That's RESPOND to 39747. And watch Newsmax today.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
It's been really dry in the West, and water managers have bad news for El Paso and farmers in the region.
Also in the ink, some residents in Sunland Park and Santa Teresa are being charged for thousands of gallons of water they say they did not use.
A local nonprofit is raising funds to renovate so it can offer mental health services to more kids and families as it sees a dramatic increase in those seeking services.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra, The topic is the El Paso property valuations. They have gone up recently. And now, should we expect our property tax bill also to rise? Well, the sun rises, same thing. Host Saul Sines talks with Executive Director, Chief Appraiser, Diane L. Kilgore of the Central Appraisal District.
Hear about it on ABC 7 Extra, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m., only on ABC 7, where news comes first.
It does.
Yeah, did you see I posted an article about our Texas, El Paso being the most expensive property taxes in the state?
Oh, no. Where'd you post that?
I put that on my Facebook page. We were like right at the top.
Another distinct
below us, but not very far. But still, it's like, why?
Another distinction we don't need. Does Bernie have a TV on in the background? I hear something else going on over there.
No, I don't know what's in the background.
There's something in there. Can you hear it, Al?
Mm-hmm.
Al Borrego's sitting here. We're talking about all kinds of things. San Elizario, Camino Real, and Tibercios.
Tiburcios.
That one. Well, explain
Tiburcios.
That.
Tiburcios. Yeah, somebody asked a question about the name Tiburcios. Tiburcios, the reason they called it Hacienda de los Tiburcios, because I believe there was two or three brothers that were the Tiburcio brothers.
Okay.
That actually took claim to that hacienda. It actually became a hacienda. It's in one of the earlier maps that we have. It was there. That's the spot that they decided was going to be the spot for the presidio, the fort of San Elizario.
So they chose the spot.
Yeah, they chose that spot.
And
they moved it from what is now Porvenir. That's where they put it first. And then they found out it was too far from the three missions. So then they moved it to what is now San Elizario.
Well, also you needed to protect the missions.
Right.
And that's why that. And the distinction is, but the churches are made differently.
Right.
The missions are made in the form of a cross. And the one in San Elizario is not a mission, it's a presidio chapel.
A military chapel.
It's a more of a rectangle.
Right.
Cool. All right, and there's that map you were talking
right.
about. Well, mm-hmm. The thing is, let's move on to Mexico City. Mexico City, you've got that number 15. What are you doing there? Because you went down there and did some reenactments, it looks like.
Yeah, actually part of the, they kind of, we were started when we do the conference. We do something like what we do here. We'll do a reenactment. Here we do the reenactment of the arrival of the Oñate expedition and the actual toma, the taking possession. Then we do that here. But there what they did is the departure of the Spaniards from Plaza Santo Domingo. That's actually the plaza right there. That's where the customs house was in Mexico City, and they took off from there. And then the next picture you'll see is me actually there with the actors, and the plaque is behind us
okay. On
the building. And then the next picture is the actual plaque of the starting point of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro.
Which one? I see you in the middle.
See the plaque behind my head?
Oh, that's cool. Well, you get around, dude. This is interesting. You go down to Mexico a lot. Do you drive a lot, or do you take a bus, or what do you do?
I fly. Fly at Mexico City. You got to fly. It's a long
road.
It's years of doing this stuff, so it's not constant. I'm going to go do a thing in Puerto Vallarta here in June, and I was just checking airfare just to give you an idea. From Juarez to Puerto Vallarta is $144 round trip. So it's pretty economical.
You can handle that. Yeah. Take Melissa. She wants to go to a beach.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going with you. I love the beaches down there. They're beautiful. But I'll tell you, that is a long drive, just even from Juarez to Chihuahua.
Yes.
It's a beautiful drive, but it's a long drive.
Yeah. I actually did it once in a bus from Juarez to Mexico City, and I would recommend against that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I take the bus to Chihuahua all the time. I like the buses in Mexico because they got Wi-Fi and everything, so you can be doing work and stuff.
Nice.
So, and they're tour buses.
I love your business people.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, you're in Mexico a lot with your maquila, or you have been over the years, Melissa.
Oh yeah, it's been. I've never taken the bus down, but everybody always recommends it. But I've ended up driving or flying down there.
Well, and what you're doing, Al, is you're opening up tourism for Mexico. Are you getting any help from Mexico for what you're doing?
Well, just to learn the expertise of how INAH, the Institute, went about getting their World Heritage designation. Just learning the process and what it takes, and then now they're giving us help to get it done here. So that's one of the biggest things, is to learn that process, and then from there apply it here, and then we've already started doing that.
Also,
all the connections.
You're getting some help from one of the Mexican television networks.
Yeah, we get help from different people in Mexico and what we're doing.
But I mean, they send a camera crew to watch your stuff go on.
Right. They send a camera crew to watch us to see what we do, what we're doing, document everything. They like to in Mexico. They like to document everything, which is what we do. Now everything that I do gets documented. I have a crew now. Whenever we're doing anything by ourselves out here, we film everything.
Well, it reminds me when the Pope showed up. Mexican TV. I never saw such a great pool coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They were all over that. They had him coming this way. Another camera down two blocks clicked on.
Right.
They had him coming by that camera.
See,
that's how they work. That was impressive.
Because mm-hmm. Well, that's a big important thing too.
Well, it was huge, obviously.
The Camino Real. The Pope was right on the Camino Real.
Oh yeah.
So the history of the Camino Real isn't just 400 years ago. It's still today. So you have to make sure you cover everything along the way and all of that package. When we end up going to UNESCO with our proposal,
yeah,
it'll include the Pope because
he was here
on the Camino Real.
Well, I tell you, it's an interesting thing. Depending upon where you are in, like, between here and northern New Mexico, everybody thinks their piece of the Camino Real right in front of them is the Camino Real. And I said to one guy up in New Mexico, he said to me, you know, you in El Paso, you people don't have the Camino Real anymore. I said, what? What are you talking about? He says, ours is right out there in the desert. We can see it. And I said, guess what? You treat it like it's a museum piece and don't go there. We work on ours every day. Yeah. We drive on it all the time. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who are working the Camino Real, not you. And so, he thought in front of his house was the Camino Real. We didn't have a piece. I said, dude, if I don't have a Camino Real piece in front of my house, you don't either. Because it goes through here to get to you. Yada, yada. But everybody was so possessive. That's my Camino Real. So, you know, it's a weird world.
We get a lot of people. I work a lot with Española, which is right there by Okeowenge.
Oh, way up there.
Yeah, Española will be a sister city here pretty soon.
Cool.
But a lot of people from Española go with us on these tours because during the Pueblo Revolt, a lot of the people went from New Mexico to Janos, which is part of our tour, and some came here. So a lot of people are there on that area, which was real big back then, where Paquimé is and all that area.
Well, to explain the Pueblo Revolt, you got to start about 100 years earlier.
Oh, yeah.
80 years. So we're not going to get to that. We've done that before.
That's a different show.
We did have a caller come in named Carlos. Carlos, we got you on the radio. What's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Carlos.
Andrew, Melissa, Bernie, Mr. Borrego.
Indeed.
Great show, like always.
Thank you.
Always looking. Hey, Jackson, it ain't fair that you guys aren't getting paid, man. Straight up. I mean, us history buffs, I mean, come on. I thought you guys were getting paid with all due respect.
No, we don't.
It ain't no fair. You guys do a lot of research and a lot of work. And
let me tell you.
It ain't fair, man.
Let me,
a lot of love.
Of course it's not fair, but let me tell you what I did in the early days. They said, can I come and sit here and sit with Leon Metz and make sure he goes to commercial? Because I do radio. I knew how to do that. They said, what we can pay you in, we will give you airtime. So they gave me commercials, which cost them nothing. And at the time, I had all these DVDs I was producing. So I actually made money on my DVDs by using the commercials. So it wasn't a total, you know, washout for me. I actually made that happen. But as it went along, we don't do DVDs anymore. I put them all on the internet for free. So it's now kind of like volunteer thing, and we need to do this because the city needs it, Carlos.
Right.
I mean, look at what's going on.
Yeah.
You got Mr. Borrego sitting here doing his thing at that end of the county, and we're doing what we can sitting here. And as I say, we have advertisers that get a commission because as I worked at it. But the point is, the station allows us to do this because the ratings are good for the station, and we sort of prop up the whole radio station on the weekend, so they make money, and it works out. Andrews gets a paycheck because he's an employee. But that's it.
I mean, everybody should get paid. I mean, thank you for all what you and Melissa Bernie do.
Sure.
Well, this is a history thing, man. It's only right. But anyways, you got to love what you're doing, and you can tell that you like what you're doing. Another thing, right quick.
Sure.
Melissa, on the history moment, where is that brewery? 1910, whereabouts was it at? on the east.
The building?
What was that on the history moment you were saying?
Today.
The brewery.
The brewery. Oh, yo, those are your generic history moments. There was
a special moments, yes.
The ones that run all the time.
That was over by the Spaghetti Bowl, if that's the one you're talking to, the Spaghetti Bowl,
yeah.
Right underneath where Fort Bliss used to, actually Camp Concordia
is
used
that the
to
one?
I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think Falstaff is what the name of it was.
Oh, is that the one? Because I remember I used to live in the McGuffin area, and there was a brewery where they
on Frutas.
They had a Falstaff plant. Is that the one?
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, okay. And the building's still there.
Yes, I know. Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought it was Father East.
Hey. Nope.
And another thing. What's your number, Mr. Borrego, for the tours?
915-526-7681.
526. What else?
7681.
Okay.
Hey, Carlos. Thanks for the call.
7681.
Yes, sir.
Carlos, thanks
all
for the call.
Thank you.
Got to take a break here. Coming back.
Thanks,
Andy,
Carlos.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for calling. We got to take a break here. Back in just a moment.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
With Indeed, you don't need a storm to catch lightning in a bottle. Find great people fast with hiring tools like Instant Match, which searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver people whose resumes fit your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher podcast is part spy thriller, part detective story. Best-selling author and journalist Stephen Talty tells the pulse-pounding tale of an undercover operation to track down a Nazi killer.
A part of history that seems so bizarre to me that it couldn't have been real. But in 1964, the Israelis decided that Herbert Zuckers had to die.
Listen to The Good Assassins Hunting the Butcher on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Comfort Keepers of Las Cruces is now hiring in-home caregivers. If you're kind and compassionate, then Comfort Keepers of Las Cruces may have a fun and flexible new career for you. Call 575-521-4400 today. Comfort Keepers of Las Cruces, elevating the human spirit.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited to launch my very first podcast, The Truth, with Lisa Booth, with iHeartRadio and Gingrich 360. The Truth with Lisa Booth is a podcast that rejects groupthink, rejects fake news, and will never bow down to the political correctness poisoning this country from within. If you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone and join me on this wild ride, then buckle up. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Find The Truth with Lisa Booth on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here talking about how El Paso history is incredibly important. One end of the county, you've got San Elizario, and the other end of the county basically just opens up into New Mexico. And the Camino Real is what ties it all together. Al Borrego's sitting here. Al, what are your thoughts on El Paso area being world-class history in this quarter, this history corridor?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that we've got a lot of universal value, not just world value, but they've kind of gone to that word universal, which what is it? What did it do universally for the world? And just what happened here with the, we call it the birthplace of the American Southwest. Had they not had the Camino Real, you couldn't have had 420 years of continuous history that's still going today.
They used that as a highway forever for
trade.
It's still going on.
It's still going on. I mean, you talk about the the trucks going still back and forth into Mexico. But if we look at it as one, and that's why we say we're one, from the part that hasn't been designated, from Valle de Allende all the way to Ocotepeque, if you take that as one, now it becomes a two countries binational trail that needs to be designated by UNESCO, which is a world type operation.
And what you just mentioned was inside Mexico to the top of New Mexico.
Right.
That's what those two cities represent.
Right.
Melissa, your thoughts?
Oh, I just think it's amazing what you're doing, and I'm so glad that we're continuing that information on the Camino Real, because it's so important for us here, and it's important for our locals to know even more about it, too, because it gives them that connection, you know, and that long-term connection from Mexico to Santa Fe, and how El Paso was such an important part of that Camino Real also.
So to get involved in this stuff, there's conferences coming up. You got April. You said Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, for April we've got the webinar that's going on every month, and then you've got the Cinco de Mayo at the 30th, 1st, and 2nd, which is huge, and all cultural stuff. And then we'll continue with the webinar. Next conference, of course, is in September. August we're doing that getaway tour to Paquimé and all that area, which is dynamite.
Keep us informed. We'll put it on the radio. CulturalHeritageSociety.com for Al Borrego's group there. Also, anything you need to see on today's show will be archived on Facebook as soon as this show is over. Andrew hits a button in there, and it turns into an archive. You can go back and watch the whole thing. And also, we do have the older radio shows on audio only on ephistory.com. Take a look at those or listen to those if you wish to do so. Pepe's. We're going to Pepe's today. What?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. We're going to Pepe's. Bernie and I are going to Pepe's also.
Well, and by the way, next week we're going to have a party at Pepe's, a surprise party. We'll tell you what it is because we're going to surprise ourselves
next
week.
Not a surprise now.
No, but we don't know what it's for. Ha ha. See you next week. Uh-huh. Also, thank you to Andrew J. Polk, Monday through Friday, Talk El Paso. He's the man today. He's in the control room for us. Appreciate that. Talk El Paso with a bell. That's Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Thanks a lot. Al, thank you.
Thank you.
You're at Pepe's.
I'll be at Pepe's.
Pepe's, there.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park.